And comes to us from John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, she is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Before I begin, I ask for your patience and forgiveness, but right after church, Don and I are going to run out the door. We will be going to a funeral of this dear angel who mentored many young children, teenagers, got them through rough places, and Willie died Tuesday and is mourned by a whole city because he gave of himself, never asking for anything in return. So we'll be running out to be with those friends and those he loved and served. How many of you have ever felt like this plant? Oh, that was a rhetorical question. Don't raise hands. But thank you for being honest. You notice that it appears to still be alive, but there are some branches in it, some, well, they have no leaves. There's a word that describes the state of this plant. It's withering. I'd like to make a statement this morning. This, by the way, may be one of those sermons where nobody wants to talk to the preacher afterwards anyway. But if you are withering, look out, because you're probably beginning to die. But there is hope. It's sad but true that for a lot of Christians, our relationship with Jesus grows old. There are so many people who come to the altar calls, who pray to give their lives to Jesus. They get excited for a week or two, and then everything gets old. Oh, some people it takes a little longer, maybe a couple of months, maybe a year, maybe 50 years. What do I mean? Our relationship with Christ gets old. Well, I mean that it withers. The relationship with Christ that was once so vibrant and fresh and exciting becomes slow and stale and boring. And the sad thing is that sometimes it's hard to see this happening because these people still come to church. They still do ministry. They still say all the right words and they still sing praises. Why do people wither in their faith? How can this relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the universe, the Son of the living God, the resurrected Savior, the bread of life, how can that get old? Well, the answer, my friend, lies in us, we human beings. It's not God's fault, as the children so quickly pointed out. He never withers away. It's our fault. Human beings, for us, it's easy for anything to get old. That's why the advertising industry always has to come out with a new ad and new products, because we don't like seeing the same thing again and again. We're not machines. We're living creatures with active minds who want to be entertained and mesmerized and tantalized. But Jesus knew this, and this is why he warned us, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. If your relationship with Christ is to be fresh and vibrant and exciting, you need to remain in him. Otherwise, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, she is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Oh, and such branches are picked up, and they're thrown into the fire and burned. Jesus understood our human nature. He knew that we get bored easily. He also knew that when we are bored, we don't do anything. In this passage that refers to producing fruit in our lives, Jesus is really getting to the heart of what prevents us from producing fruit as Christians. How many of you, again, rhetorical, just think about it, how many of you are like me and procrastinators? If there was a procrastination club, of course there would never be any meetings, because they would always be rescheduled. Have you ever noticed what things in your life get rescheduled? If you look really, really carefully, I'll bet those things that keep getting rescheduled are the things that you don't really want to do. Or maybe those things that there's something else more important than those things that we reschedule. But have you ever noticed what things you tackle with relish and intensity and vigor without even thinking about doing it later or what it will cost to do it now? These things are usually things that you like to do, that mean something to you. Jesus understood that if we didn't remain in him, there would be no fruit produced in our lives. Why? Because we're not in him. And how come we're not in him? Because our relationship with him has grown old and stale and slow. And you know your relationship with Christ has grown old when you're withering. And you know when you're withering when you go to church because you have to rather than because you want to. And you know when you're withering when you read your Bible like it's a textbook rather than a love letter. You know you're withering when your praying becomes rote and habit rather than communication with God. And when your worship and praise is reduced to simply mouthing words rather than being words coming from the heart and lived. Well, there are many things that cause us to be withered. It may be that you are withering because you are too comfortable and your comfort makes you forgetful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. God loves to bless his people, and a lot of us like to receive those blessings, but sometimes we forget the blessings God has bestowed upon us. There are a lot of people in our world today who are withering spiritually because they have too much comfort. They've been blessed with everything that they need and more. Why do I need God? I've got everything I need. I've got a house. I've got food, more than I need. I've got a place to live, a car to drive. I've got family to love me and who care for me. That's what happened to the Israelites, you know. Through Hosea, God said, when I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they became proud. And then they forgot me. If you look at the history of the Israelite people in the Old Testament, you find that many times it was when the nation was prosperous that they started withering and eventually fell away from God. Why do I need God? I've got everything I need. How do you know when you're too comfortable? It's very simple, really. You're too comfortable when you can't find anything to thank God for. There's always something that you can thank God for, always. Whether it's the air that you breathe, something simple like that, or the clothes that you wear. You could be the poorest of the poor and still be too comfortable if you cannot thank God for anything. Oh, the gratitude has to be and go further than your mouth. And even further than your checkbook, it has to come from your heart and be in your life. It's nice when you give financially to the church, and it's important to the church being able to do God's work, but you got to give to yourself, of yourself, too. Another area in which we get too comfortable is in the area of sin. Far too many of us are getting tolerant of sin in our lives, and because of that, we're withering spiritually. We tolerate programs on TV that we wouldn't even thought of being on TV years ago. We tolerate certain movies. We tolerate certain books that we read. We tolerate sinful things happening in our communities. We tolerate gossip and speaking ill words of one another. And when we become comfortable with sin, then we become sinful, and this will cause us to wither. If you're too comfortable, then you need some uncomfort in your life to help you recall God's blessings. The truth of the matter is that it takes a little uncomfort to break people free from being too comfortable. Have you ever noticed that more people turn to God when there's a tragedy than when everything is going well with them? You see, when you're uncomfortable, then you realize that you need God. Ask the Israelites. Ask Peter. Well, it may be that you're withering because you're too habitual. You need some change. Well, it's true that some habits are good, but it's equally true that some habits are bad. You see, habits are first cobwebs and then cables. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. For example, it's a good habit when you have a regular devotional time with God every day. It's a bad habit when that's the only reason why you have a regular devotion time with God. Do you meet with your God out of habit or out of love? Sometimes our prayers reflect this. How many of you have a grace that you say before every meal? When you say it, do you say it out of habit? Or do you really mean the words that are coming out of your mouth? Do you really mean each and every time you say that grace, your gratefulness for God's provision? Do you come to church out of habit? Do you say, "Praise the Lord," out of habit? Well, this is a Methodist church, so we don't say, "Amen, brother," too often, let alone out of habit. Do you say, "I'll be in prayer for you this week," out of habit? Or do you really remember to be in prayer? Do you say, "Lord, forgive me," out of habit? Do you say, "I love you, Jesus," out of habit? Or do you really mean it? If any of these things fit when you're with, then you are withering. Because you're too habitual, you need to break some of the habits. You need some change in your life. You need to reinvigorate that relationship with Christ. Or it may be that you're withering because you're too judgmental when you need to be forgiving. It's very often true that the faults that we constantly see in the lives of others are the very faults that we have of ourselves. Do you find yourself doing that? Those who are too judgmental really find it hard to forgive people. Those who find it hard to forgive people will become bitter people, and bitter people will wither spiritually. Oh, we're fooling ourselves if we think that we can abide in Christ with bitterness in our spirit. Do you want vitality in your life with Christ? Then make sure you have a heart that is able to forgive. It may be that you're withering because you are too lazy. You need to be available. You need to be diligent. Here's another way of understanding laziness. Let's play a game. Let's play pretend. Let's pretend that you work for me, you individually. Let's pretend that you are my executive assistant in a company that is growing rapidly. I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding the business overseas. And to pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until a new branch office gets established. I must leave this place with you and go to another place. Oh, you'll know the place that I've gone. Well, I make all the arrangements to take my family and move to Europe for 6 to 8 months. And I leave you in charge of the busy stateside organization. I tell you that I will write you regularly and give you directions and instructions. And I leave and you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters are mailed from Europe and received by you and at the national headquarters. I spell out my expectations. Finally, I return. And soon after my arrival, I drive down to the office and I'm stunned. Grass and weeds are grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk into the receptionist's area and she's doing her nails and chewing gum and listening to her favorite country music station. I look around and I notice the waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed for what looks like weeks, and nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I asked about your whereabouts, the person I left with my word. And somebody hollers, I think he's down the hall. So disturbed, I move in that direction and bump into you as you're finishing a chess game with our sales manager. And I ask you to step into my office, which, oh, by the way, I see has been temporarily turned into a television room to watch the afternoon soap opera. What in the world's going on? What do you mean, Mark? Look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters? Oh, yeah, sure, we got your letters. We got every one of them. And as a matter of fact, Mark, we have had a letter study every Friday since you left. We've even divided the personnel into small groups to discuss many of the things that you wrote about. Some of the things were really interesting. You'll be pleased to know that a few of us have even actually committed to memory some of your sentences and paragraphs. One or two have memorized the entire letter or two. It's great stuff in those letters, Mark. Okay, you got the letters, you studied them and you meditated on them, you discussed them and even memorized them, but what did you do about them? Do? We didn't do anything about them. What kind of a relationship exists between us now? If we really want to have an exciting relationship with Christ, then we need to be available for what He wants and be diligent in doing it. We need to read His letter, a love letter from beginning to end. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. On the other hand, it may be that you are withering because you are too busy. Waiting to be interviewed for a job, a wireless operator, as a wireless operator, a group of applicants paid little attention to the sound of the dots and dashes coming over the loudspeaker. And suddenly one of them rushed into the employer's office and soon returned smiling, saying, "I got the job." And the others were astonished. "How did you get ahead of us?" The lucky person, the attentive person, said, "You might have been considered if you hadn't been so busy talking that you didn't hear the manager's coded message. It said, 'The man I need must always be on the alert. And the first one who interprets this and comes directly into my private office will be hired.'" Well, some of us get so busy that we miss out on the things God is saying to us. When our busyness interferes with our relationship with God, then that relationship will wither. If you ever find excuses for not spending time in prayer or going to church, then you're too busy. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned up. Are you drinking in the rain that God is showering upon you and enjoying the blessings of God and a meaningful and exciting relationship with Christ? Or like this plant, are you withering because you're too comfortable and have forgotten who's providing the rain? Or you're too habitual and there's no substance to your soil for anything to grow? Are you withering because you are too judgmental and the rain bounces off your hard clay surface? Are you withering because you're too lazy and the rain simply drains away? Are you withering away because you're too busy to allow the rain to even reach the surface? Well, maybe you need some uncomfort to remind you of our God who has blessed us. Uncomfort to get us to tear out the weeds. Maybe you need some uncomfort to change so that you add substance and meaning to what you do. Maybe you need forgiveness to soften your heart. Diligence in doing what God wants you to do and availability to receive what God has for you. Maybe you need to hear God calling you by name. Maybe you need a place to call Abba, Father, and remember that He is the vine that provides for us. This week I was listening to my country music station, and I heard a song by the group Lone Star, and the song is "I'm Already There." When I first listened to this song a while back, it brought me back memories of when I was on active duty and then away from home on temporary duty, away from home and wife and children. And each time I hear it, my mind fast forwards another notch to the present. And then I thought of my son, who has been gone in the sandbox for the last 15 of 24 months, away from home and wife and children, realizing that he's not alone. There's 130-some thousand people like him. And then as I continued to listen to it this week, I forgot all about those, I thought about all those times that I felt hurt. Those times that I was frustrated and alone or tired. And now the song began to mean something new for me. It reminds me to cling to the vine, this song. Jesus is never far from you, so don't find yourself far from Him. Hear Him in just a moment sing this love song to you and His other children. When you are hurt or tired or frustrated or feeling alone, you call Abba, Daddy. When are you coming home to me? Then He sings a sweet melody back to you. He says, I'm already there. Take a look around. I'm the sunshine in your hair, the shadow on the ground. I'm the whisper in the wind, your imaginary friend. And I know I'm in your prayers. I'll be there to the end. When you feel the love that we share, then I'm already there. Don't say a word. Don't make a sound. I'm the beating in your heart. I'm the moonlight shining down. Just take a look around. I'll be there to the end. See Christ already and still everywhere in your life. When you're hurting, you may feel 1,000 miles apart, but feel Him gently kiss your lips. Feel Him touching you with His fingertips and know that He's already there. He is already there. He's already here. And one of the ways that we can stay connected to Him is through our time of prayer.